So it's good to see you all again this morning. It's been a busy weekend here at New Danville. Many of you came out to walk through the Bible, as Greg was talking about earlier. It was wonderful. We did a survey of the entire New Testament within a couple hours. That might not sound exciting, but we had a speaker that was incredibly funny. His jokes were almost as good as mine. And we learned hand motions to remind us of the whole story. It was really kind of neat. So maybe find somebody after church and get them to show you the hand motion, see how many they can actually remember. But it was a lot of fun. We do it again. You don't want to miss it. It was a blast. So what we're going to do is, it's more than just what happened yesterday. We're taking the next 6 weeks to do our own survey of the New Testament. So if you're not in a Sunday school class or a small group, I suggest you get into one because the lessons there are going to dovetail off the messages that I'm doing Sunday mornings, and we're getting sort of a grasp of the bigger events that happen in the New Testament. I mean, you couldn't cover the whole New Testament in 6 weeks, obviously, but we're going to get some of the bigger themes and work through them. Today we're talking about the temptation of Jesus. Some of you might remember in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus, when he was getting ready to start his public ministry, right after he was baptized, that he was tempted by Satan for 40 days in the desert. Let me read you some of the passage. Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil, and by the way, the Greek word here actually means the tempter, somebody who's tempting you. During that time, the devil, the tempter, came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point on the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you'll kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord God and serve only him." Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. It's a very interesting thing that happens here, because as I said, Jesus had come into adulthood. He's around 30 years old. He had just been baptized. The Spirit of God had come down on him and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." So Jesus is getting ready to start his public ministry, which would last about 3 years until his death on the cross. But right at the very beginning, before he even starts that ministry, it says the Spirit led him out into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. So the first thing I want to say here is anytime you step out for God, be ready for opposition. Remember, there is a battle going on. There's a spiritual battle that affects the earthly world that we live in. And you can expect that if you're doing things for God, there's going to be opposition. So whether it's stepping out to help with a Sunday school class or maybe witnessing to a friend at work, whatever it is, there's always going to be that chance of opposition from the enemy because he doesn't want you to succeed. So don't be surprised by that. It can be tough at times, but half the battle is just knowing that it's coming and knowing where it's coming from and knowing that you have a God that can overcome any of that, and then it's easier to get through it. So expect that we're going to have challenges. As New Danville grows as a church, and we've been growing as a church, challenge comes with that. There are many ways Satan tries to knock us down. He does not want to see this church succeed. One of the biggest ways, I'll just say as a side note, is he tries to divide. Remember, God is trying to bring people together. God is about love and about unity. So what's the enemy about? Hate and division. So what he'll try to do is divide us. He'll look for those disagreements in the church, and there are bound to be disagreements because we have different opinions about everything in the church. But it's not so much that we have the disagreements, it's how we handle them that matters. So if you don't want Satan to get a foothold, then don't allow the disagreements to turn into hate and anger and division. We'll find ways to work through them. So we see that here, that Satan right away is trying to attack Jesus' ministry and knock him down before he can even get started. But the first thing we learn here is that Jesus demonstrates in this how to succeed in following God's will. Notice he went out into the desert because he was led by the Spirit. It was a spirit that took him out there. Now, it wasn't God trying to tempt Jesus away. He wouldn't tempt his own son into evil. In fact, he doesn't tempt anybody into evil. You need to understand that. Right? God is not out there trying to trick you and trying to get you to do things wrong. He's encouraging you to do well. But what he's also doing is trying to get you to rely on him. And there's times where he'll allow you into the wilderness to show you that you have to rely on him. And all through this, we see that Jesus is led by the Spirit. So it wasn't his own power he was using. It was the power of his heavenly Father. He was following God's will. Just like the Israelites ended up 40 years in the desert so they could learn to rely on God, so Jesus was 40 days in the desert, showing that he relied on the will of the Father. And all through that, he was very successful in that. He followed God's will, not his own, and we'll see that here in a second as we look at the temptations. So the personal application here is, how is God testing your faith? Because God will test your faith. He won't tempt you, but he does test your faith. He allows whatever situations happen in this broken world to happen that you might rely on him, not on your own power. So are there areas of your life, maybe you can think of them now, what is God allowing to happen in my life that my faith is being tested? And what am I doing about that? Am I showing that I rely on God, or do I just rely on myself? I mean, truly, it's the only way to test faith, isn't it? How else do you test faith unless you're out somewhere where you can only rely on faith? That happens. But God's with you in all of that. So first off, he was led by the Spirit. And we see in Matthew 4, verse 1, it says that exactly. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. But see, Satan saw that also. And Satan wanted to try to stop Jesus from relying on God, as I said. He was doing the antithesis of what God wanted. So he tempts Jesus with these tests. And the funny thing about Satan is he's always trying to chip away at your faith in God. He's always trying to say, you can do this yourself. Isn't that what he told Adam and Eve in the very beginning? God didn't really tell you to eat. You couldn't eat from that tree. You can eat from it. It's okay. Provide for yourself, right? So he's been doing that ever since. In fact, that's how Satan had his fall. Remember, Satan was an angel, and what Satan decided was, I don't need God. I can do this myself. I'm going to take over. So all he's trying to do is make you make the same mistake that he made, that you'll fall away from God. I don't need God. I can do this myself. But we see all through this test, Jesus never acted outside the Spirit's guidance or the Father's will. Even though it was a 40-day fast. And remember, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. That's tough. But here's the thing. He was physically weak, but he wasn't spiritually weak. And there's a difference. And we see that in his responses, which once again we'll get to in a second. Have you ever fasted? Have any of you ever tried that? You know, don't raise your hands, okay, because it's not about you bragging to other people when you fast. It's about something between you and the Lord. We've talked about it a little bit before, but I'll just remind you again, fasting is a practice where we're focusing our prayers on God, so we skip a meal. There are a lot of things you can fast with, actually, but in general, traditionally in the Bible, you skipped a meal. Right? And how long you fasted was up to you, depending on what you were trying to do with God. So some would fast from sunrise to sunset. Some would fast for a period of days. Jesus, in this situation, fasted for 40 days. It's hard. Now, I would encourage you to try fasting sometime. It is a challenge, because what you're doing is you're denying yourself basic sustenance. Now, I'm not asking you to starve yourself. If you decide to do a fast, my suggestion is start out easy. Just fast for one meal. And I would suggest you still drink liquids, maybe some water or some fruit juice or something like that. Let's be healthy in this, but skip the meal. Then maybe down the road you could try fasting for a day. Maybe you're going to fast for a couple days, but always do it for the right reason. Right? You're not doing this to make yourself look good, right? To look, hey, I fasted. What you're doing is you're trying to get in touch with God. You're saying, God, I'm putting aside food, and I'm going to feed off of you. I need to be in touch with you. There are times where I've fasted for myself. There's times where I fasted for others because I wanted to say to God, God, I am serious about this, and I need to hear from you. So I skip a meal. It's actually, some people have said, some physicians have said, it's somewhat of a healthy thing to do. Gives your body a chance to sort of cleanse itself a little, and it also stops you from being chained to food, so to speak. So fasting can be a healthy thing. But once again, it's not about the health, at least not physically. It's about your spiritual health, saying, God, I need to connect with you. And I'm putting aside food for now so that you and I can have a talk. It's a wonderful, wonderful practice. If you want more information, come talk to me about fasting, and we can discuss what might be the best way for you to try it. But I'm telling you, it's an incredible spiritual discipline. So Jesus had fasted 40 days, and he was physically weak, yet he was spiritually strong, because that whole time he was out there, he was connecting with his Father. It wasn't about the body, it was about the mind and the spirit. So for you, when you're being tempted, when you're having challenges, who are you relying on? Are you relying on your own power, or do you seek God's will? Say, God, what is it you want me to do in this situation? That's hard to do sometimes, because if I have somebody that's picking on me or giving me a hard time, not that anybody in this church would give me a hard time. No, no. Well, there's one. I don't want to embarrass him, but his initials are Brian Dieter. Oh, wait, that's, okay, yeah. Now, we have fun. When people stop picking on me here, I'll know there's an issue going on. We'll have to, but seriously, we do have challenges, and there are times we're persecuted by others. And often, my initial reaction is how I'm going to get back at that. Because I can give a pretty good zinger sometimes. I should have been a lawyer, really. I've got a quick wit, but that's not necessarily a good thing. But if I really take time and say, God, what do you want in this? I usually find there's another answer when I'm relying on his power. And I also find that his answer works out better than mine. I'm more about escalating the conflict, and he's more about finding that reconciliation. So make sure you're looking for what God is saying. Is the Spirit guiding you? Okay. The last point here is what Jesus said each time he responded to Satan. In verses 4, 7, and 10, his three responses, he started off with, it is written. So in other words, he relied on Scripture. Jesus knew Scripture, and he used that to resist what Satan was tempting him with. He says, it is written. Now here's the interesting thing. Satan also used Scripture to tempt Jesus. He says, doesn't it say in the Bible, angels will save you if you jump off the temple? Do it! We have to be very careful when we interpret God's word. See, too often we use the Bible for justification. We make up our minds about what we want, and then we go to God's word and say, there's the proof. It's called proof texting, right? I'm going to prove what I believe by using God's word to do it. That's not how we go to Scripture. We go to Scripture with an open mind and say, what is God saying? Now, what am I going to do about it? Scripture is very easy to warp and change. In fact, in February, I'm going to do a series of messages called, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? And we're going to look at a number of religions that also claim Jesus, but not the same Jesus that you and I follow. Because they've taken Scripture and they've twisted it. So we're going to take a very close look at that. So be careful when you're using Scripture that you're using it for God and not just for yourself. I've had many people come to me with arguments about, well, the Bible says this. Well, let's be careful. When we interpret Scripture, let's make sure we're going in with the right mindset of what God wants and not just what we want. And let's make sure we're not just taking a single verse and using it outside of context. We have to look at the whole of Scripture to make sure we're understanding God's will. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we need to be in our Bibles and study so that we make sure that we're not falling to temptations because we have an inappropriate view of Scripture. Because Satan will try to twist things on you. If you think about it, these three temptations, did you notice what Satan was trying to offer Jesus? First off, it was the bread from rocks. He was offering him food. Then it was a safe leap from the temple. That would have given Jesus fame because everyone would have seen it, Jesus jumping off and landing and being okay. And then all the kingdoms of the world, fortune. So he offered him food, fame, and fortune. They sound like good things, really, don't they? Who wouldn't want food, fame, and fortune? But that's not what God had in mind. So Jesus, while he could have satisfied himself, well, I'm the Son of God, why can't I have those things? Was careful not to fall into the temptation. And that's something I want you to understand. Temptation is a tricky thing because it always starts out like looking like something is okay when it's really not. Isn't that true? I think any of us could say that. I think some of our guys from the recovery house can talk to you all about temptation. But the funny thing is, I think any of us here, if we're honest with ourselves, understand temptation. It starts very simple. And let me tell you the real key to it, and if you're really trying to test yourself, it goes from temptation to justification. Temptation to justification. I'm going to have a drink. I'm going to have some hard whiskey. I shouldn't do that. Well, it's just one drink. It's really not going to affect me. It's okay. Well, I haven't done it in a long time. Temptation goes to justification, right? So I'm on the internet. Oh, look at that picture. I'm just curious. Temptation becomes justification. And then you start down that road. Right? And so many of us fall into it. Haven't you found that in your life that we fall into these patterns? We're like, I'm going to conquer this. And you feel like you got it conquered, and then all of a sudden you're back in it again. It's because temptation comes along, and you turn it into justification, and Satan's there to help make it happen. So, well, no, this could be good for you. This is okay. It's, no. Test it. The next time you're tempted and that little check in the Spirit comes, and it does, because if you're with Jesus, then you've got the Spirit in you, and you know he puts that there. Then you test it and go, am I justifying? Am I being led by the Spirit or my own desires? What am I really going for here? If we would all ask that question, we could save ourselves a lot of heartache. And I'm not pointing the finger at you, I'm pointing it at me. Because it happens to me all the time. Don't let temptation become justification, even when it looks good. So the personal application here is, how much Scripture have you memorized? I am amazed by the children in this church and their ability to memorize Scripture. Greg's praise earlier was well said. We got some kids here on fire for some of this stuff, and they soak it in. Now, I also understand that as you get older, the mind, it is harder. It's very hard. And that's been my excuse because I'm trying to learn sign language, and there's a couple people younger than me, and they're just zipping through it. And it is coming really hard. So my excuse is I am old. This is a sign for old. In fact, I am old. Yeah. It is hard, and I have to work at it, and I have to practice. But that's not an excuse. I can still do it. So can you. Have you opened your Bible and memorized any Scripture? Because for Jesus, the easiest way for him to get out of those temptations was right away he had God's word in his mind and he responded with God's word. And God's word won't lead you wrong, properly interpreted. You got to start memorizing scripture. Do it. Find an easy passage. Now, yeah, okay, Jesus wept. Shortest passage in the Bible. Can you remember that? You got your first scripture. There you go. But let's try and work on something a little bit deeper than that. I would suggest that when Julie puts these scriptures on the screen for the kids each month, you memorize it too. She's been picking some good verses. Memorize it, and then the Holy Spirit will use it when you need it. Memorize the Bible. We can memorize sports statistics. We can memorize songs. Why can't we memorize God's word? I mean, God said, write it on your doorposts. You know, teach it to your children. Memorize scripture. It's valuable. Too often we just want to complain. Well, I'm just too weak. Well, God wasn't helping me. He didn't show up. You're not doing what he tells you to do. Memorize his word and put it into action. All right. I'm starting to sound like a real preacher and banging this. I'm going to stop that. Is that what I'm supposed to be? Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I start doing that and then people complain. I'm not sure where we are. Okay. Seriously, let's be serious this year about learning scripture. You know what would be great if you learned a verse and then come and tell it to me? Wouldn't that be cool? Come and say, Robert, I learned a scripture, and then you say it. I would love that. That would bring me real joy. It's one thing for you to walk out of the sermon and go, good sermon, Pastor, good sermon. I might get that all the time. I appreciate that, I do. But when I see you putting it into practice, then I know we're getting somewhere. And the less we're all tempted, and the more we're led by the Spirit, the more effective we're going to be as a ministry in reaching a world that desperately needs to hear some good news. True? True. Thank you for being here this morning. Let's pray. Father, you wrote us over 1,100 chapters telling us how you love us. And yet for some reason, we continue to ignore that huge love letter and try to do things on our own. I try to do things on my own. Lord, would we fall in love with your word, with the beautiful stories, and with the beautiful message that comes with it? And would we implant it in our hearts so that when temptation comes, we pass it by? Father, the only thing we want justification from is Jesus Christ, that we are justified before you as washed clean, because he died for our sins. So, Lord, plant your word in our hearts and in our actions as we live each day for you. And we'll ask it through Christ, the one who gave the example and who lived everything we did without sin. Amen.